Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We continue in our study together through the book Living Fit by Dr. Ronnie Floyd, pastor of Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas. Took a different path here for the fall and just felt really led of the Lord to lead us together into this study. I think it deals with key areas that we need to be talking about, and here's what is the most important thing. Not because Ronnie said it, not because Stephen said it, but most importantly because Jesus has spoken to every one of the areas that we're going to deal with over the next 10 weeks. And so we're, what, week 3 into it? Take away the intro. We've got 8 more weeks together. And we're hoping that from our time together in the Word of God and dealing with these key areas, you will understand what it means to live wholly and completely and walking with the power of the Holy Spirit in the area of who you are spiritually, who you are physically, who you are emotionally, who you are financially, and who you are relationally. God has something to say for all of those areas in your life. And all of your life is comprised by those 5 areas. And so I want us to dive together into the second of those 5, living fit physically. Are you excited? No, you're not. But it's going to be all right. You know, God has something to say about your bodies. And, well, let's just dive in. Let's let God have something to say about it first. And then we'll dive in together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look if you would in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you are still turning and maybe just gotten there. I'll read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Not just some of you, not just most of you, all of you. May he sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul, and there it is, your body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of blameless or blamelessness has to do with the fact that we don't want to give anybody reason to look at our lives and say, I don't want your Jesus because of that. I don't want your Jesus because your mouth is too foul. I don't want your Jesus because you're too much of a hypocrite in how you carry yourself and how you live. I don't want your church because you're just not who you say you are. That's not living blameless. We cannot live perfectly, that's for sure. We'll make mistakes. So we're not thinking that we can reach perfection. We can only even know what that is as we look to Jesus. But we can live blameless. And so this morning I want to call our attention to living fit physically as we study and think about 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's pray. Lord, from our time together, we ask God that you would guide us now and strengthen our hearts, God, that we might hear what you have to say. This is a word for our day. This is important. Your word speaks to it. Your word has something to say about it. So we need to be those who hear it and listen. And I pray from our time together, you would be glorified. And that, God, we would see our potential and who we could be as we see ourselves through the lens of the grace, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the power, the transforming ministry of Jesus Christ. Father, from our time together, may souls be saved, may lives be changed and disciples made. And I ask these things as best I know how in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Lord does have something to say about how we carry ourselves and how we take care of, or the lack thereof, of our bodies. You have one body. It's said in the book, if some of you purchased it and you're reading through it, and especially our staff, if you read through it, you'll remember the statement. We cannot control the quantity of our lives. We have no control over that. That's up to God. But we can, by His grace, determine the quality of our days. We don't control the quantity of our days, but by God's grace, we can have something to do with the quality of our days. And so part of the quality of our days has to do with the bodies we have. We only have one life to live, and God's only given us one body. And so before you pull the shade on me and think this is not spiritual enough and we don't need to be talking about this, I want to just kind of meet you where you are and throw out a few disclaimers. First of all, you'll enjoy my prop this morning. It's my bathroom scales. I hold here the Word of God and the bathroom scales, two defining apparatuses in my life. Terry Ballard said in the first service, said when he gets on the scale, it says one at a time, please. Isn't that great? When I get on, it says, get off. Or you again. Anyway, I am not pursuing this idea of living fit through this morning. As a matter of fact, the more I get on this thing, the more depressed I become. Even when I got on a big weight loss kick in 2013, it seems like I need to get back on it. But I lost some weight. I mean, I got back down to my high school fighting weight. I felt great. But even then, I didn't hit the weight I wanted, and I was probably as healthy as I've ever been in my human existence, even through high school. You know, when you're in high school, you can, you know, two-a-day practices, you play football, you go to games, what do you eat before a game? You know, a stack of Airheads and a Mountain Dew. You're like, whatever. You know, just eat it. It's there. Let's do this. But the older you get, you start realizing, you know, those Airheads, they don't float away. They stick around. All right? And those Mountain Dews become poor you. You know, it's not good. And so I want you to know this morning, I'm not going to speak of this through this. Most importantly, I'm going to deal with what this has to say. This can be depressing, distressing, and condemning if you're not careful. Can I just tell you this too? If you're in here today, your value and worth is not determined by that. You hear me? Do you hear me? Nationwide survey, I believe it was Pew Research, might have been the Barna Group, asked 1,001 ladies in their survey, how many of you feel happy with who you are? Over 90% of all women said, I am not happy with myself. I'm just telling you, your value and self-worth is not determined by what that little square piece of glass tells you. Your value is determined by that book and who Jesus Christ is. You don't look down and say, oh, I'm not worth so much. You ought to look up and see what He did for you. There's your value. That's what He did for you. You are valuable in the eyes of God and made in the image of God. And I'm telling you, especially for our ladies, if you're in here today and you feel that way, I'm telling you, you've never been loved like a man like you've been loved when you come to Jesus. The best husbands in the world are imperfect at best. And all the women said, I'll give you every chance I can, women. The best husbands in the world are imperfect at best, but the best love you'll ever receive from any man is the God-man, Jesus Christ. And He laid His life down for His bride, and He loves you. And men, He loves you. He loves what you're about. He loves who you are. And your value and your self-worth is not determined by what you see on some magazine stand or what you see on Facebook. Let me just tell you, let me dive into some statistics here. Statistics that I dug into this last week in some of my study. In revenue terms, the fitness industry growth rate is 2.6% globally. That doesn't seem like a whole lot. Only 2.6% globally. But in 2016, the fitness industry globally took in $83.1 billion. Every year from 2015 to the present, the physical fitness industry, if you will, grows 2.6%. That's net. They net 2.6% on $81 billion in 2015. In 2017, it reached $85.2 billion. And in 2018, the projections are $87.5 billion will be spent worldwide on fitness. Now, a few things must be true. Either we all in bad shape, and maybe that is in some ways. Well, there's a lot of disgruntled, unhappy people out there that are not pleased with what they see in the mirror on a given day. And I just want you to know that as we talk about how you take care of yourself, I'm not as concerned about your weigh-ins and your waistlines. I'm not going to talk a little bit, not even a bit, on BMI. If I was my BMI, all of y'all think I was sick. You know what that is? It's your body mass index. It says I am 5'8". No jokes, please. God made me this way and don't judge me. Jesus loves short people. Still does. 5'8". Don't worry about what I weigh. But if I weighed my BMI, I think I would weigh maybe a mid-160s. Y'all be like, what's wrong with you, preacher? Something wrong? I've got a tapeworm. Don't worry about it. I'm not judging you by that this morning. I'm not judging you by some scale out there. And let me just tell you this. There's a lot of folks who forget their value in the Lord because of comparison. There's a phrase out there, and I heard it not too long ago, and it is so true. I want to quote it to you. At the center of depression and pride is comparison. The core, the center of depression and pride is comparison. And how do we do it? Well, we'll go to a Walmart and, you know, we're cruising through, or maybe we'll go over here to Ingles. Before we get to the dairy aisle, you're walking along the back. I'm in Ingles a lot, y'all. You walk from the meat aisle, you're kind of happy that you found some good ribeyes. Or at least that's what I do. And as you pass by the magazine aisle, you see some dude that just, I mean, he is just absolutely, you're thinking, why didn't they call me for that magazine? I don't understand. And then your second thought is, I don't look anything like him. And your third thought is, what do I need to do? Let me just tell you, you can't. Love you. You just can't. All right, just quit worrying about it. One time I got on this exercise kick and I thought, you know, Tim McGraw had just turned 50. And Tim McGraw's got this, you know, just awesome physique and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm going to find out what he does. What's Tim McGraw do? Because he just sits on a stool and sings. And it's working for him. So I got online. I looked up Tim McGraw workouts. Do you realize the first 3 hours of his day, he does CrossFit with a personal trainer? I think he eats a piece of lettuce and a bottle of water for lunch. And then in the afternoon, before a show, he does another 2+ hours of cross training. And intermittently there, between the cross training sessions, he'll go on a jog. Ain't happening. Go, Timmy, go. Ain't happening. That's why I like Chris Stapleton. He's my kind of guy. Y'all met him? I'm more of a Chris Stapleton guy. Amen. He's my kind of guy. No, I'm not picking on the man. He just looks normal. He's just normal. He's like the dude down the road. He's normal. The point I'm trying to make is not about Tim McGraw or Chris Stapleton. The point I'm trying to make is, number one, we've forgotten that God does have something to say about how we take care of ourselves. Number two, quit comparing yourself to the dude down the road or on the magazine stand. Number three, let's see what God has to say about it, all right? So let's dive in. Two things I want you to think about today as we take care of our bodies and we look at who God wants us to be. The first one is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, living fully. Let's live fully. And as we live fully, we need to understand what that idea of fully, that concept fullness, what does it entail? What does it involve? We'll look back at the text in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. There it is. You are a triune being. Did you know that? You are made up in three ways. Our God, we are made in the image of God. Our God is three in one. He is one God. There is none like him. Deuteronomy 6 reminds us of that clearly. But he manifests and reveals himself in three ways throughout the scripture. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, within the Godhead, they look together and say, let us make man in our own image. And God took the dirt of the ground and He breathed life into it, and there came Adam. And then He said, it's not good that man should be alone. And so He caused Adam to sleep. And then from the rib of Adam, the woman was made. And now we have two human beings made in the image of Almighty God. Our God, being a triune being, also made humanity in a triune fashion. You are soul, spirit, and body. Let's talk about those very quickly as we talk about each aspect of what makes us fully devoted to Jesus. Let's talk about the spirit. This is the center of you that worships. You're made different from every other created being on the planet. Now, the trees hold their branches high, but it's not necessarily in personal worship to Jehovah. The elk eats grass because God commanded him to do so and brings glory to God as he does it, but not necessarily to personally worship Jehovah. But you, being a creative being of Almighty God, you have something within you that is capable of deep worship. And ideally, you have been made to worship God alone. Now, listen, you can only worship one thing at a time. I said in the earlier service, it is absolutely amazing to watch my wife at work. It's amazing what women can do. All the ladies said. And we're going to have revival in here today. Amen. I mean, with one arm they're washing dishes, with one arm they're feeding a baby, with their foot they're mopping, and they've got their phone on talking to somebody. And we men are in the refrigerator saying, where's the turkey? It's amazing what women can do. It's amazing what many people have learned to do with so little multitasking. But you know what? There's one thing you can't multitask. You're only created to worship one. You're only created to worship one. And His name is God, and His Son is Jesus, and He works in our hearts through the power of His Holy Spirit. And within our spirits we worship. So that is completely to be given to God. Then within our souls. What is the soul? It's the character. It's the personality. It's who you are. And we're all different. Every single soul in here today is very unique and different in and of itself. And so with your soul and with your character, you worship God. But then also, there it is. It's in your Bible. You can't deny it. You worship God with the spirit, the soul, and the body. We are to worship the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This talks of the body, the stewardship of the body, the care of the body. And so here's what we need to know. There's three insights we need to look at today as we live and serve God fully. The first insight is this. Your entire life is connected. It is not compartmentalized. The spirit is connected to the body. The body is connected to the soul. The soul is connected to the spirit. It is all together. You are connected in oneness, and that's how God has created you. If you treat each three of these areas with great concentration and discipline under the Lord, each will benefit the other. But if you neglect one over the other, it will begin to affect all three areas. It's how you're made. It's how you're made. So you mean to tell me, preacher, that I can live as close to God as I've ever been spiritually, and I can keep my soul under check and make sure my personality and character is honoring to God, but if I don't eat right and take care of my body, you mean to tell me that's going to affect those other two areas? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You are all connected. You're not compartmentalized. You need to understand that one area affects the other. I told you in 2013 I got on a weight loss kick, but I'd be remiss to tell you there also have been times, and most recently, I don't know if you're like me, but I stress eat. My barber slash beautician, I go down here to Great Clips. She was in here this morning. And she said, you need to come see me. I said, you're exactly right. I have her shave it on a zero on the sides. You know why? Cuts off all the grays. You know where these grays come from? You people. All of you. Every one of you. Every last one of you. But I love you. But it's just you. And my children. Never my wife. But when I get stressed and I start dealing with issues and struggles and worries, I'm just being honest with you, I love to go straight to the cabinet. Because instead of hitting my knees and giving the problem to God, it's much easier for me to go get a stack of Oreos. The lemon double stuffed. Don't show up my house with lemon double stuffed. You hate me if you do. Because I am now compelled to eat the entire pack. It's a lot easier to run to your cabinet and go grab a stack of something because it's immediate. It's immediate. You start feeling better. Sugar does something in your brain chemically that does not always help you. Your body is made to be able to process that stuff, but when you start just pumping your system with that junk, it's going to catch up with you. You are not compartmentalized to think that you can eat any old way and it not affect you later on. You need to know that. It's important. Insight number one, your entire life is connected. It's not compartmentalized. And insight number two, you are a whole person, not just parts. You are a whole person, not just parts. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. So which part of your body can you afford not to put on the altar? Which part of your body you decide not to put on the altar? By crawling up on the altar, you have given your spirit in worship to God. By crawling up on the altar, you're giving your soul in love for God and submitting yourself to His will. And by crawling up on the altar, you're using your strength, your body, your might, and laying your life down for the glory of God. Here's what you need to realize. When you give your life to Christ, you've given it all to Him. Insight number three, you're created in the image of God. Body, soul, and spirit, and you're not just a mass of human matter. Romans 12 says, I would that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present your body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Here's the question. We as believers, here's our question. Here's our question. Here it is. The question is not, have you went down a pant size? The question is not, are you eating well and is it bringing glory to God and you stayed under 1,100 calories last week? The question is, with how I live, with each spoonful of food that goes in my mouth, am I a living sacrifice to the glory of God? That is the question we ask. You're doing that, sizes, weights, immaterial to me. Can we say, even with the food on my fork, have I brought glory to God? I'll be honest with you, I have chosen in many ways to just choose to not think about it when Jesus has something to say about it. And it's affected me, not in the right way. Living fully, you are not compartmentalized, you are one full being. Number two, living orderly. Orderly. I want you to look with me in Galatians 5. I want you to turn over there in your Bibles. Sound of a healthy church is the flipping of Bible pages. I want you to flip in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read together in verse 16. Galatians 5, I want you to look with me in verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. If you're there, say, I am. All right, good. Listen, Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. You know why you feel so conflicted in your heart sometimes? Because there's a war within you. There's a war within all of us. The flesh versus the Spirit. Who will win on a given day? These are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Here they are. Sexual immorality. This is not an exhaustive list. This is a comprehensive list. The works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you look back at that list. Verse 19 through 21. You look back at all of those works of the flesh. I know that we could say this about any of the 9 spiritual fruits. But which one of those would not be conquered in our life if we learned some self-control? And when I say self-control, I mean control of God in our lives. All of those would come under the Lordship of Christ if we would learn to let God control ourselves. So look, if you would, in verse 22. What's the fruit of the Spirit in your life? When the Spirit begins to get more of you than your flesh, what's going to happen? Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and there it is, self-control. Did you know self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit controls my life, then I learn to control myself. But when the Holy Spirit doesn't rule and lord over my mind, then I'm left to let my flesh control my thinking and I give into it. I give into it to certain addictions, to certain hobbies that wouldn't glorify God, certain habits that wouldn't honor the Lord, certain things in my life that He wouldn't want present. There's nothing that happens in your hands that doesn't first begin in your mind. So if I can learn how to seek God for Him to control my thinking, then God will change my doing. So here's what I want you to know about living orderly. First of all, ordering your body into submission takes personal discipline as well as divine intervention. So here's what you need to note this morning. You can't do this on your own. How many times have you invited someone to church, and maybe in a time past you've said this yourself. You've been invited to church and you'll say something like this. Or you've invited someone and they'll say something like this. I'm going to come, but I got to get some stuff in order before I start going to church. You'll never come. We'll never see you. Let me ask you something. So what you're saying logically is every other person except yourself in this church has it together. Not beginning with the preacher. Here's one thing you can know. We all messed up. We are all a mess. We are all fallen. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are all struggling in our weakness, and we are not standing here in our strength. We are here this morning because we know we're too weak to do it on our own. It's not because we got it figured out. We don't come to church because we're showing up now because we're holy enough to come to church. No. No. We're here because we had problems with our wives or our husbands last week. We're here because we're trying to figure out how to raise our youngins. We're here because we have God speaking into our lives to advance His kingdom and to do that together as God's people. We're here to worship a God that we have failed so many times this week. And we're doing that not to glorify our failures, but to honor Him who is perfect and helps. But we are not here because we got it together. You cannot see God take control of your body in lordship without understanding that you can't do this by discipline alone. Don't raise your hand. We might have revival. How many of you got on a health kick? It lasted for a while. You started liking what you saw in the mirror. You felt better. And then 24 hours later, sorry. A couple months later, you just went right back to old habits. I've done it multiple times. You know why that is? It's because somewhere along the journey and somewhere along the line, Stephen starts convincing himself that he can do this himself. And when I get there, sometimes I don't even realize I've done it. But when I get there, I'm no longer capable of hanging in there for the long haul. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You can try it for a while, but you won't stick to it if the Lord of heaven and earth is not helping you to be faithful. So we live fully and we live orderly in the power of Jesus Christ. So look at it. First of all, it's a biblical concept. I read it to you, Galatians 5:23. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Against such, there is no law. Listen to this one-liner. Put it in your Sunday school outlines. Actions become habits that become our character, that become our destiny. Actions become habits. Habits become your character. Your character will become your destiny. That can be good or bad. Leave a sin in your life unchecked long enough, and it will always take more from you than you ever intended. You hear me? You can't manage it. You can't manage it. Sin is a monster that is always growing. You can't manage it. I can't manage it. I need the Lord Jesus to help me crucify it, because there's no sin I can leave in my life respectably over time that's not going to consume me. But on the other hand, if I will begin to have some habits in my life, some actions in my life that develop into habits, spiritual, strong disciplines, if I can see those habits grow into my character on a daily basis and then give that character the Lordship of Jesus Christ over a lifetime, I'll like what I see. But it doesn't happen overnight. There are no microwave Christians. There's no just add water. Just because we dunk you in the tub don't mean it's all going to work out. There's no just add water believers. It's day to day, waking up, giving that day to the Lord, glorifying God in the day, and making it count for His glory. Okay, so you had a bad day on Tuesday. Give it to the Lord, wake back up on Wednesday, and go forward. Quit trying to do this on your own, but you can through Jesus. It is possible. Quit giving up on it. And now we're not just talking about the body, we're talking about the heart and the mind. It's a biblical concept. Also, it's a logical reality. Put this in your outline. My dudes will like this. I like to read biographies, specifically military biographies. One of those is from Jocko Willink. This dude's a bad man. You're not going to pick on his name. He can hurt you. He's a retired Navy SEAL. He was a task unit commander for TU Bruiser in Ramadi, Iraq. Saw some of the toughest combat and fighting, leading his guys through Ramadi. He says this in his leadership book: discipline equals freedom. Isn't that good? Discipline equals freedom. There are goals, there are dreams that we leave on the table and we never see them come to fruition because we won't let the Lord give us the discipline we need to go get them. We just give up on it. I can't read my Bible. Why? You're not disciplined enough. I can't pray like that guy prays. Why? It's not because you can't. A lot of times you won't. I can't serve like him. He's there every time the doors are open. Why not? He's got just as much time as you do. He has the same 24-hour day as you do. How did he get to that point? How did he get to that place? Discipline in the Lord. Now, obviously, I know why our leadership consultant here in the outline might say discipline equals freedom in his world, but I'm telling you, it relates to ours as well. There are no spiritual giants in the kingdom of God who have not learned spiritual discipline. Finally, here's where it all boils down this morning as we close. Lean in and listen. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. Where there's no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. What are you saying? Well, for years, you know, us church guys, we love to quote this verse because we use it as church growth verses. Where there's no vision, the people perish. So let me tell you, so we won't die as a church. Here's the next vision I'm going to give you. That's not what the text is talking about at all. Not at all. Not a little bit. It has nothing to do with growing the church and building new buildings. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's what it talks about. When you lose sight of God and His Lordship, you die. That's literally what it means. When you lose sight of God's Lordship, you cast off restraint. He, with His laws and His commands, does not impose them upon us in His Word because He hates us and tries to make us miserable. He gives us a healthy framework, a healthy box, if you will, to keep us safe, protected, and walking in His will. But when we lose sight of His Lordship, and we lose sight of His control, and we lose sight of His authority, we cast off the restraint, and we get ourselves in a mess. When we lose sight of His authority in our finances, we cast off His restraint and get ourselves in debt. When we lose sight of His authority in our eating, we cast off restraint. And 6 months down the road, we don't like what we see. When we lose sight of His authority in our workplace, we cast off restraint. And we're known on our crew as a potty mouth and a hothead. Where there is no vision, when we lose sight of God's kingly lordship, we cast off restraint and we get ourselves in a mess. Today, are there areas in your life where you lost sight of God's lordship? It might be in how you've taken physical care of your body. It might be. I'm with you too. I struggle in that thing. Trying to do better. Not where I need to be, but I'm not where I was. Trying to work at it. But with me physically, I may never be in 34 pants again. And I need counseling. But if my brother picks up the phone and calls tomorrow morning and says, "Hey, the water's still cresting right outside of Wilmington. I desperately need a crew of chainsaw men. I'm going to need you for 5 days straight. We're going to have to cut our ways to the people. Could you come and send a group?" I don't want to have to tell my buddy, "You know, I got some guys, but I can't make it. Because for the last 35 years, I've not taken care of myself." Y'all all right? So listen to me. If you got some medical issues and problems, I am not picking on you. But I am simply telling you this. This counts too. Our motto as Baptists is, "Until we eat again." And poor Baptist, bless your heart, you can't dance, you can't fuss, you can't drink, you can't cuss, you can't chew tobacco, you don't sit on sidewalks, can't cuss in front of women, so what's left? Eating. Nothing's wrong with eating. I love fellowships and we're going to continue to have them. And I don't need anybody to be the Holy Spirit police to come knock a donut out of my hand next time we gather. But as I said in the first service, the problem is not me having a donut with coffee in my Sunday school class on a Sunday morning. The problem is I ate about 24 over the course of the last 7 days. That's the problem. I didn't do that. I'm just making an example. So don't nobody give me donut things later. I don't need you as the Holy Spirit and you don't need me as the Holy Spirit. He's doing a great job. But I will say this. Discounts too. Okay? Discounts too. And it's got to be submitted to Him as well. You are a three-part being, and all those parts are connected. Let's make it count for God's glory. Amen? Amen.